I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 323. It's November 13, 2015. Well, today koinonia involves being together. It involves giving. It involves the Spirit of God and suffering. Yeah, that's what we've got to talk about today. One koinonia that we must not ignore, one participation, one fellowship that we cannot ignore is listed with two other qualities in Philippians 3:10 as the highest goal of Paul's life, I believe my life too, and your life. I want to know him, that's number one. Number two, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want his life to be working through me for others. And also, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. The word there is koinonia. Now, I've never suffered like that. But when I was in communist Romania many years ago, I remember the sweetness of the fellowship, the communications that we had among each other, the love, the richness of the interactions with people who indeed were suffering. Some people were beaten after we visited their homes. We were not, the Americans' team. We got off pretty easy. They followed us around a little bit, but nothing bad. But they were beaten just because they had had an American in their home, we found out later. They were suffering in communist Romania in the 80s. It was a different world there. The aroma of Christ was so delicate, so beautiful, that it was only with tears that I came back to my own nation and to get back involved with the church that was caught up in a lot of things that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the Western church in general. Paul wanted everything. I want everything. Don't you? To know Christ, to know his power, and to know the joy of the togetherness, the fellowship, participation with Christ when suffering for his name. I wonder, does life even have anything better than these three things? Paul makes one other mention of koinonia in the book of Philemon in verse 6. He talks about the koinonia of Philemon's faith. Paul wants that entity to become effective. Through Philemon's knowledge, it was going to happen. Sounds like he's using the communication connotation of koinonia rather than that which is signified by the English fellowship there, as in verse 6. Sounds like Paul wanted him, Philemon, to be telling his other people, including his escaped servant Onesimus, that the book is all about his faith in Jesus, using the knowledge that he's been gaining about the ways of Jesus. It's a good word, this koinonia. Can be used in so many different ways, and the early church continued steadfastly in that kind of fellowship. It doesn't mean simply getting together for a meal. That's not the only thing the early church engaged in. Yeah, they did get together for meals. It wasn't some outing at the local Colosseum for a major sporting event. It wasn't a hunting or a fishing trip. Wasn't an ice cream social or a gab session. It was a coming together of those who already were, quote, together by the infused Holy Spirit. They had a lot to talk about Jesus. They came together in his name to talk about their own spiritual condition and that of the world around them. These weren't social sessions to gossip about what was going on in politics or the world, to share news events, business deals. These were love feasts, not the love of food as today, but the love of God and the love of each other. These Christians couldn't stay apart. They were members of a shared interest that compelled them to be together. Indeed, how could they stay away from their brothers and sisters with that kind of fire burning within? After you've read the book of Acts, and after you've experienced the things that I've experienced and others have of people who really are in a church of fellowship in other parts of the world, when you've experienced that, then, as I said at the opening of this entire series, it's very, very sad to hear someone come up to you on a Sunday as you're on your way out the door and say to you, "Hey, I'll see you next week." What about those 7 days? What am I going to do without you? That ought to be our feeling about the body, about the family. How can I live without you for a whole week? They had to be together. Do you have to be with your church? Is it kind of a duty that you have on Sundays? Grudgingly showing up for a one-hour meeting of routine observances, then hurrying back to the delights of the world. Get that TV on. Get that roast cooking. Get that outing taken care of. This isn't fellowship, my friends. This is not the fellowship of the New Testament church. This is work, what you do on Sunday, but some of you do, I'm saying. What some of you do on Sundays is work, it's duty, it's surface religion, and it does nothing good for anyone. We'll give Brother John the last word on this, since his writings do take up the last part of your New Testament. He sums up koinonia in his first letter, very first chapter, verse 3. He says that you may have fellowship with us, koinonia. He wants them to have fellowship with him. The apostles he's talking about, that's the us there. Fellowship with the apostles, the leaders, the leadership. The ones who were here before you got here. You may now fellowship with Christ's life in the world, the church. And this fellowship is actually connected thereby to the Father of all. That's one kind of fellowship in verse 3. In verse 6, fellowship with Him, with God, directly with God, living out this walk with God in the light of His Word. It's directly with Him. It's with the leadership of the church. And then verse 7, it's fellowship with one another, with everybody that's a Christian, the rest of the saints of God. You're a part of a huge, visible and invisible family. Unfortunately, in the West, it's largely invisible. And you say, you keep knocking the West. Well, I'm trying to challenge the West. If you're a Western Christian listening to me today, you need to understand that our church in this part of the world is not the normal. The normal is persecution. Most of the church in the world is undergoing some sort of persecution. It's much more severe than anything we live here. The true church is being beaten up, trying to be, by Satan. That fellowship is so sweet, though. It's so real. What a price they have to pay for true fellowship in the body of Christ. And there are people in concentration camps in North Korea who are experiencing better fellowship than in your First Baptist, First Methodist, First whatever, Second or Third Lutheran. Well, I don't care what your church is. If it's not fellowshipping in the Spirit, if it's not filled with the very purposes of God, and if people aren't coming together because of Jesus, you're not in fellowship. How is the fellowship at your church? Is it a once-a-week meeting, at the end of which you hear those sad words, "See you in a week"? Is it an occasional social event and called fellowship that begins and maybe even ends with a quick prayer? Oh, we prayed anyway. Jesus is a part of this. Or is it going over to the brother's house to watch a great football game? Muting the commercials of these ungodly events, of course. Or is it deeper than that? Is it people who are in love with each other and following each other's needs and problems? Is it constant prayer and strategizing for the winning of the lost? Or you just put that in the leaders' hands and you guys just have a lot of fun still in the world? You know, the lost in your neighborhood will soon be in hell without your intervention. Real, spirit-filled worship and prayer at your church that brings the Father himself into every meeting, is that how it is? That's fellowship. Frequent, even daily, consideration of the body and blood of Jesus via crackers and juice. That's not for the Catholics only. Daily communion. Why can't you have it daily? You personally, and you and your little group in your house. Why does it happen? Why do you wait for 3 months or even a month? Why? To remember as Jesus said to remember. He didn't give us rules about how long, how often. But he, I think, kind of likes it when we remember him. You sure remember your belly 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day. It's nice to have a good sermon. It is. It's nice to have public prayers and a great meal. It's all good stuff. But without the fellowship of the Spirit, bathing everything with purpose, God's purpose, can we really say we've even been to church? That's all I have on that. I thought I'd get long-winded and maybe it would drag on till Monday, but we're just going to let it go right there. And I'm so glad you could come along. I would like you to subscribe to my daily podcast. It's almost daily anyway. Click on that orange button at the top of your page there and just click on iTunes after that. And it'll start coming to you every day to your device, whatever it is. And you'll know when I've put something out there. I won't be doing anything tomorrow, Lord willing, on the podcast. Saturdays we've been just taken off. And Sunday we come back in full force talking about North Korea. North Korea is Sunday. Then this Monday, Tuesday, we'll go to one of our other brothers that love the Lord so much and read some of the things he said, some about his life. Do that maybe Monday, Tuesday or so. And then midweek next week or later on in the week, we're going to begin another series about deliverance. Make no conclusions right now about what that's about. I said a word that means something in the Christian culture of our day. That's not what I'll be talking about. I'm talking about Bible deliverance. It might include some of that stuff, but you just show up and you'll see what I'm talking about. And I thank the brother, I think it was a brother, who suggested that to us. Yeah, and I appreciate any suggestions you would have, anyone, for the kind of things that I'll talk about here. I don't listen to all of them, but occasionally something comes along that I think, yeah, that's something we need to share. So if you have an idea, something that's puzzling you, and you think the rest of the body might be interested in that too, let me know, would you? And meanwhile, we started today with Philippians 3:10. Let's end there and end this series with the reminder that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Remember, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the prayers, and the eating together, but also in the fellowship. Let's us continue together.